Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show. We've painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
Marquise Goodwin, who plays for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
This guy, I think he's like an Olympics sprinter. But he, his wife and him lost their baby the day before the football game, or actually that morning.
That morning.
And he went out there and played and scored a touchdown, and he broke down in the end zone and started crying and praying. And I mean, it became one of those where everybody was talking about it on social media as soon as it happened. And he did post a picture on his Instagram of him holding his little baby's hand. And we were talking, would you be able to go out there and perform when something like that happens?
That's deep, boy.
And Kelly said you wouldn't be able to.
I'm not in that headspace, though.
Yeah. But
I'm not a professional athlete. I'm not married to a professional athlete. I personally think I would have a hard time with my husband going to play football after I just delivered my stillborn child.
Yeah. See,
but that's me. I'm not in that headspace.
I guarantee you.
I'm trying not to pass judgment, but I'm just saying I that's really difficult emotional.
But
I can't imagine going through it.
What if his wife, right?
Yeah, she's also an athlete. She's also an incredible athlete.
Said baby, go.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not an athlete. I don't understand athletes' mentality. So.
Some of the best moments in sports that I can remember come from grief. After somebody loses a child or somebody loses a parent, and then they go out and play that night or the following day, and they have their greatest game. I think Brett Favre was one of them. If you've heard the name before, he went out and had one of his best games the day his dad died.
At the end of the day, you could take sports out of it almost and just say, okay, whatever it is that you do, could you, after going through something like this, could you immediately say...
Go to your job
and say, I mean, what are your choices?
For example, you
sit at home and just cry?
We were with Kid when he passed away, and he started this show. And a lot of people, I'm sure, could have passed judgment on us because we came in that Monday.
And then we took the rest of the week off.
Al and I kept coming in.
You did. I couldn't.
You did. Right.
I didn't. I think talking is different than playing a sport, though. Sitting here talking.
You're still performing in a way, I guess.
Well, I'm just saying it's your, whatever your job is. I'm just saying, oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I was in Longview, Texas, right after Kid passed away, and my mom called me and told me that my dad died. I was setting up for a party. I was for this party at a buddy's place. Anyway, and I remember the shock that I felt right then. It was 7 o'clock at night. I had taken my trailers and stuff down there, and I started crying, and then I continued to set up for the party. And I didn't tell anybody. There was 4 or 5 guys down there helping me.
Yeah.
And I didn't tell anybody what was going on. And there was a guy riding with me. And all the way back, I didn't tell him what was going on. But I was just processing. I was like, my dad passed.
And it comes to grieving. I think we all grieve in different ways. When I'm grieving, I want to take my mind off of it. Because I will get so into my feelings when something like that happens that it's not healthy for me. So that's why I don't know why you came in, Al, but that's why I kept coming in with you, is because if I would have stayed at home, I would have just been...
I'd go crazy, man.
Yeah, I would have gone nuts.
Gone crazy.
I think that's one of the hardest parts about grief, is the fact that life goes on.
Yeah, that sucks, right?
You know, like, it's harder on those of us that are living.
Right, right.
When someone passes away, because unfortunately, you have to at some point go back to work.
Yeah.
You have to do all these things that you're not ready to do. And then in hindsight, I think, gosh, when Kid died, I did not want to come back in here. I think Kelly and I felt the same way. We were like, gosh, it was a constant reminder. But day by day, you know, if I hadn't come back in here, I mean, it ended up saving me.
Right.
Having to come to work.
Yeah.
Even just pulling into the parking lot, we would talk about it. It's awkward.
We would talk about it coming in the morning. We'd look at each other leaving. I'd cry the whole way home sometimes. But, I mean, that's just kind of a message. Like, put one foot in front of the other and you can get through something really difficult.
And we've all lost someone. And I think the first time you see somebody smiling as soon as you lost someone and you see them smiling, you're wondering... How are you laughing? Why are you smiling right now? Don't you know, like, somebody I care for died?
We did a good job making each other laugh.
Yeah.
We did.
You have to put yourself in the mindset of, this person would not want us to just stop existing because they passed away. They'd want us, you have to tell yourself that. They'd want you to keep going and keep doing what you do, whatever that is. If it's talking on the radio, if it's playing football, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah, during the basketball playoffs, remember Isaiah Thomas' sister came in and played. And then Vanessa Hudgens, when they were doing the live Grease She came in after her dad passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It's hard, but...
Yeah, it's hard to perform.
But I totally get it. And man, for him to go out there and do what he did...
Much love. My condolences.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, it is awful. What's not awful... Well, actually, running is awful for Kelly. Man, you had a tough running weekend, Kelly?
Well, you know, my husband wanted to run a 5K because he really wanted to lose 10 pounds. But he's like, if I write that down, I'm not going to do it. But if I train for a 5K, I'll probably naturally lose 10 pounds. He proceeded not to train for a 5K. And I did a little bit. I didn't really fully train as I should have. But everybody assured me, once you're out there with everybody, you're running, you're buoyed up by the energy of everybody else. And it does truly make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Because when I was out there running around my neighborhood by myself, that's hard to make yourself keep going.
Yeah. Right. But
you have no motivation.
You have hundreds of people around you.
There's some adrenaline there.
It does. Uh-huh.
There's some adrenaline there, and you don't want to look like a wuss.
Yeah. There's some.
You got to be careful to pace yourself, though, because if I run around a group of people, I'm like, wait, I can't go that fast.
Yeah. I was working on my breathing, and I wasn't talking. I was trying really hard, and I wasn't trying to run too fast. I was trying to keep a steady pace, and I was doing great.
Yeah.
Alan's strategy was to run super, super slow. So we
smart. Hello, I'm Alan.
We didn't run together most of it because of that, because it was...
He was behind you?
Yeah.
Whoa!
But I just had to keep moving. And so I ran for a solid, I'd say, 30-some-odd minutes.
Wow, that's great.
Solid. I was so disappointed in myself, though. At the very right before the last quarter mile... It was a hill.
Oh, the hill.
Yeah. A hill. The last stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a big hill the first part. I was like, I can't believe they put this big hill here.
But the last stretch. Who put this hill
here? I know. It's like, what are they doing? I was like cussing to people like, whoa, Kelly Bradford. Because I don't care. This is making me mad. So, and I'm by myself at this point. I didn't realize my friend, who's an Ironman competitor, he'd been kind of tailing me the whole time just to kind of... be there if I needed him, I guess. So I'm coming up, and I see this blue street light. I was like, if I could just get to that blue street light at the top of this hill, I'm going to have to stop for just a minute. And so I'd already convinced myself of that.
That was your...
I wish I hadn't done it, because as soon as I did stop, he came up behind me and he grabbed my elbow. He said, Kelly, it's a quarter mile. You can do it. It's a quarter mile.
Yeah, 2 minutes. I'm like, 3 minutes.
I just need a minute. I just need a minute, because I'd already had my mindset that that was my reward.
Yeah.
I'm so mad at myself. So I stopped for 90 seconds. I didn't stop. I kept walking.
Yeah.
Did you experience runner's high at all?
Well, you get to a point. I don't really know that it's necessarily a high, but you get to a point when you're running where you think, I can just keep going.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
But it's not like I'm euphoric.
No.
It's just like I got to a point where, like, I could do this. Mm. That hill got me. And I'm so mad at myself. But
you did it. It's done.
You did it.
And then I ran the rest of the way in. As soon as I started running again, I heard the music. I'm like, well, there it is right there. I was so mad.
And you beat Alan, though?
I did. And I was mad at myself again. He's like, figures. I beat him. And so I got my camera out. I was going to video him coming across the finish line. So I got it out. I hit record. Nothing.
Oh.
I hit it again. Nothing. I hit it the third time, and it started, of course. By then, he's already... my figures.
Yeah. So you didn't catch him crossing the line?
No, I got him right after he crossed the finish line. But my time was... Here it comes. Not the official, because
I'm guessing 30.
I did it myself.
So you stop.
How many miles is it again?
5K is 3.1
or something. 3.1.
So I'm guessing 30 miles. 30.
But Craig, he's an Ironman competitor, 32. And he has a watch, and he said it was a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
35:31.
Okay.
Kelly, that's by my phone, and that's me walking 90
seconds.
That's
like 10-minute miles.
That's me walking 90 seconds.
That's nothing to be ashamed of.
The raspberry's fast.
I don't think it's that fast.
That's
probably like 6.0 on a treadmill for the whole time. That is really good. That's good for someone that doesn't run.
Yeah.
10-minute mile is a really good pace.
But here's the thing. Alan and I, after we were done, we felt really good, man, hitting that bed last night.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Sandwiches
and
love. Every part of you is just dead weight. Every part. No. No. We were just like... We're so bushed, but it was a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what do you think? You want to try it again? He said, I might be willing to do this again. So we're thinking we might be willing to do another 5K.
The turkey trot, Thanksgiving morning.
No, I'm hosting 20 people. I can't.
Oh, that's right.
I can't.
My wife wants me to do a turkey trot.
Turkey trot, dude.
Oh.
And you got a choice. You can do the 5K like Kelly did.
Or
you can do the
8 mile.
I don't do the long distance. I'm a...
5K okay. It's 3 miles.
I like sprinting for 5 seconds.
Yeah,
done.
It's 3.2.
I did it. I'm glad I did it. Yeah. I'm still kicking myself a little. Alan did not stop the entire time. He ran slow, but he didn't stop.
He didn't stop.
He didn't train a minute. So he's very proud of himself.
Now, did you put the 3.2 sticker on the back of the car yet?
No.
To show it off to people?
Did they give you a sticker for 3.2?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think you have to do like either a half or a whole. I don't think they give you a 3.
I'm going to buy her the 26.
26. Just like, yeah, why not?
The marathon one and then scratch it out.
And then put minus 23.
But I got a cool medal. I mean, it's really a cool medal. Yeah.
Participation medal?
No. I participated.
Well, like a place medal?
No, I didn't. Hell no, I didn't place. Yeah.
Here you go.
You did it though, Kelly.
I'm proud of you.
I'm sorry.
You beat Al.
A little disappointed.
She called me. She said, "Al, if you're at your bar, it's at 6:30 last night. You're at your bar. I'll stop by.
We're gonna come by. We wanted to get something to eat and something to drink, and he didn't answer.
Big Al tired.
Yeah, I was tired.
He's moving and stuff. Big Al all tired.
Tired.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Congratulations to the new Hall of Famers. Clue, Wiffle Ball, and Paper Airplanes. They're going to be inducted into the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So it's that game, Clue, Wiffle Ball, and then Paper Airplane.
I'd like to see what games are in there.
These guys in there? Yeah.
Jax?
What games?
Would Jax be in there? I guess Jax has been in there for years.
What are those?
Jax?
What are those?
They're little...
You never played Jax?
I don't think so.
You bouncing that ball and grabbing Jax?
Oh, you bounce and they have the little things?
Yeah, the little spinny things. And you bounce the ball and you pick up as many as you can.
Jax.
Yeah. I don't know if that's in there, Al. I got to check the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, we played that back in the hood.
You played in the hood?
Yeah, we played that back in the hood.
We played that and I didn't live in the hood.
Yeah, I didn't either. I played.
A hood game? Jax. What you doing in the mean streets of the hood? I'm playing Jax.
But that sounds like a tough game, though.
No, it doesn't, Jax.
But did you get shot at it while you were playing?
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Get shot.
What were you playing? Pick up sticks.
Curious.
Keep it real.
What was it? Barrel of Monkeys?
Oh, that's a fun game. Yeah, I played that one.
Play some ass into pants.
Yeah.
In the hood.
Big pinch pennies.
What is that?
Pitch pennies?
What's that?
Oh, pitching pennies.
Pitch
you're pinching pennies.
Pitch pennies.
How do you pitch pennies? What do you
mean? Yeah, if one gets closer to the wall, you get all the pennies.
Oh, so you can make
gambling.
Money.
Yeah, gambling, dog.
Did you ever go with the quarters?
No.
That's too much money,
dog.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dog.
Too much money.
Dog.
My man. What was the thing you were saying earlier?
Ripping and running.
Too busy ripping and running.
That's
man.
Al's new tagline right there.
What's happened now?
Big Al, I'm ripping and running.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I miss my mommy. I haven't talked to my mother in a week, I feel like.
You going to go see her today?
I'm going to see her today, man.
Good.
She's wondering, do I still have a son? That's what she'll start throwing at you.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I still had a son. Yeah, Mama, I'm still here. I'm sorry.
Did you have to buy the washer and dryer?
I need to. My closet looks like the world's biggest dirty clothes hamper.
Ugh.
And,
So wait, you moved the dirty?
Here's the thing. I moved some dirty and some clean. Now I don't know what's what. So I just dumped it all in my closet.
The methods that Al and I move are vastly different.
Jenna's doing it right.
I've been doing 5 boxes a day. I've been doing laundry.
I didn't have a dresser, so I just dumped all my clothes in the living room. I had no furniture anyway, so I just dumped, and I've just been kind of picking through it. Finally got a dresser, so Saturday morning or whatever it was, I'm just trying to organize that. It's just, my house is just a mess.
Can you put any underwear in your dresser? Because I know all your underwear's dirty.
Yeah, no, like 3 pair. And you know the 3 pair that are always like the last pair that you wear?
Oh, they got the hole in the crotch.
Yeah, either hole or little thongs.
No.
See, most guys aren't going to say the little thong.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I got to hire somebody to come, a professional organizer.
But they don't know where my stuff goes, and I don't want.
Well, that's what they're hired to do.
That's crazy, Al. So many people have told me when they saw a social media post I did of like me trying to pack my kitchen. I had multiple people say to me, Jenna, you're so funny. Why aren't you paying someone to do that? And I'm like, what world do you think I live in? Like, I'm paying. I understand, like, if a company is moving you and you pay someone to do it, but I'm hiring movers. Isn't that enough? Like,
right.
I'm getting everything packed up. They charge me $100 an hour. It's actually a good deal, and I've used them before, but I'm still looking at quite an expensive move to move a mile away. I pack all my own stuff.
Right. Movers are expensive. It adds up.
Multiple people on, like,
people
I don't know who you are telling me to get people to pack.
Jenna's not that rich.
Yeah, in my case, I'm not as rich as I thought I was.
Kelly was a celebrity net worth $5 million, according to that website.
Right.
But breaking news, you guys.
Breaking news.
See, Kid Nation, your investigative reporting is on point today. Because we got a screenshot of the Big Al Mack celebrity net worth.
Oh, my.
Nobody's more horrified by this than I am.
This was shocking.
Step aside, Kelly Raspberry.
Right? I'm going to take a seat.
And we double-checked Kelly on this website as well, and it came up the same.
$5 million?
They did their research. Yeah, I'm still worth $5 million with my annual income of $1 million.
Okay, good.
According to celebritybio.org. Mm-hmm. So you know
another website that keeps track now.
You know, it's reputable because it has the org at the end there. Uh-huh. So that's good. Big Al Net Worth.
They get a tax write-off because they're an org?
Yeah.
That's a charity.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Big Al Net Worth.
Yeah.
Then this is shocking, you guys.
And factual.
$20 million?
Yeah, you are. You can hire an organizer.
More money.
Wow. What is going on here?
Finally, it's paid off. Is there a negative sign?
No, there's no negative in front of it.
There's no negative sign? Okay.
$20 million. Man, what are we getting for Christmas this year, Al?
Woo! Lord, everybody's getting a car.
Are we sure that's not like the IRS says?
I got it, George. All right. Oh, my God.
Dang, Al. I didn't know you were balling like that.
But
I didn't
either. You're not liquid, right?
I didn't either. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and check my... Let me check my balance right quick and see if it reflects $20 million.
Yeah, you got to be like Tiffany Haddish and say, hey, how do I collect my $20
million? I got $20 million. Yeah, you can send some Packers over to my
place. Yeah, how do I get that money?
Yeah, I don't know, Al, but you claim it somehow.
Trust me, that's a little off.
A little.
Just a little bit.
Man, and if the IRS did take that stuff seriously, they'd be knocking on our doors.
Right.
I mean, honestly.
Well, they're always knocking on our doors.
They'd have to knock on the gate first before they get to the door.
True. Yeah.
Jenny had a fun weekend. You went and did motherly things.
Yeah, I was rich in tickets at Chuck E. Cheese yesterday. They put me in that tornado machine. Oh, my gosh.
Jenna went to was it a wedding the night before?
So one of my close guy friends got married. Traditional Jewish wedding. So fun. I've always wanted to go to one. It's such a blast. They play all the traditional music. Uh-huh. Everyone's dancing around there on chairs.
The chair thing?
It's so much fun. Yes. And the groom and his wife had a choreographed dance routine they did for everyone when they came out to the dance floor. So it was a lot of fun. It was a great night. But I had a prior commitment on Sunday, so I was trying to be good, but, you know, wine and the champagne's free, and so, like, I drank a little bit for me, had to have the Uber driver unzip my dress for me on the way home. It was so tight.
He went home after.
And then I overslept in the morning, and this is the birthday party for little Abby Hernandez. She was turning 7, and her mom had written me last week, and I got this Facebook message. I'm glad I checked. She's like, Abby wants you to come to her party. I don't know if you can. I'm like, of course I will. She told me it was Thursday. Well, her birthday was Thursday, so I already had driven out to this particular Chuck E. Cheese one time on Thursday.
But the party was?
The party was yesterday. So it's raining. I get dressed. I'd overslept. I zoom out. I didn't have time to eat anything. You know how I get when I haven't eaten. And I'm like, okay, well, it's Chuck E. Cheese. Like, I'll eat pizza, right?
Yeah.
So I get out there and no one's there. I'm like,
you were early?
No.
You
it was 11:15. It was from 11 to 1. It was 11:15. I'm like, what'd I do? So I got in my Facebook messages and I looked, and her mom goes, Jenna, I'm so sorry. We booked the wrong location.
Oh no.
So 30 miles.
Oh.
I would have given up by then. I would have
No way. I had to give up. I've been trying to get to this thing since Thursday.
That's a mission now.
Of course I'm going to go. So, yeah, apparently the Chuck E. Cheese that they went to wouldn't let them change the party. They had to go to the other location where it was originally booked. So everyone got there, finally made it. Abby's so excited. Her little friends from school are there. And I sit down and I'm like, I think I'm going to throw up.
Oh, no.
Like, I didn't feel good.
I hung over for a night before.
Were you taking back?
A little bit, and you know, there's a bunch of kids in there, and it's loud, and everyone's clapping, and the mouse wants you to do a lot of stuff, and I'm just like, mouse, like, relax, you know?
Hashtag relax the mouse.
Relax the mouse.
Hey, like, Chucky, chill, bro.
Yeah, like that mouse is getting excited, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go to the salad bar. So I ended up having some food. I felt great. After I ate something. Yeah, but I was thinking to myself, I was snapping some of my friends that are parents. I'm like, how do y'all do this?
I don't know.
How do y'all do this?
You just do it.
You just don't stay out late, right?
No, we stay out late.
No, you do.
How do you do that?
You go into parent mode.
Yeah.
This is like
just
because
you have to and you just feel terrible all the time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Even when you don't feel terrible, you feel terrible.
Well, anyway, a snack was great, and Abby was thrilled, and she was so great.
Good.
She's, you know, she was a little brave girl that went on Tower of Terror with us on this trip last year, and then her brother were like,
do we get to go to Disney World again this year? I'm like, no, we're taking another group of kids. That's what's hard when we see the ones that they want to go again. Of course they want to go again.
Did she start crying?
She goes, well, tell them to be brave and ride the Tower of Terror. Aww. I said, okay. No, they didn't cry. No, they were just like, oh, okay. Oh, Dippin' Dots. Yay. They were, you know how kids are. They get distracted.
See, now you know what Kelly and I have to do every weekend, Jenna.
Yeah.
Does Chuck E. Cheese still have the ball pit? Isn't that the place?
No, they got rid of the ball pit.
They got rid of the ball pit?
Yes.
Too nasty.
It was so gross.
Kids were peeing in there and stuff.
I wasn't about to get in anything like that.
But I think there's an adult place where you can go, and there's ball pits there, so you can relive your...
Adult ball pit?
Yeah, adult ball pit.
Nothing.
Is there a club?
Yeah, no. Although that could be a smart idea, Big Al.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Hey now.
All right, Kid Nation, we got a trip to Florida for you with our fun Florida fact. It's trip a day to FLA. If you can answer this trivia question correctly, you'll be on your way with a friend. And this one's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the question right now. The world's smallest what is located in Carrabelle, Florida?
Huh.
The world's smallest what is located in Carrabelle, Florida?
Hmm.
If you know, give us a call at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-KEY-KIT.
Even if you don't know, at least take a guess and let us know what the smallest what.
This isn't a joke.
No.
The world's smallest mini horse I paid to see at the fair.
No. And it's not even a mini horse. It's just a horse.
It's a small horse.
Way down in a hole.
It's a regular size miniature horse.
Yeah.
Down beneath the ground, and then you climb upstairs, and then you look down at it. And I was like, I just paid 15 tickets for this?
I know. Yeah, I know.
For this average size mini horse?
This is for real. It's the smallest...
Something.
Something. Yes.
I'll always buy animal things like that, though.
I'm sorry, Jenna.
You just want to go see the tiniest little horse.
Of course. I want to see the tiniest horse.
I expect a horse that fits in the palm of my hand.
Yes.
If you're going to tell me it's the tiniest horse in the world. That's what I expect. I saw your dermatologist on Friday, Jenna.
Yes. How was Dr. McGinnis? I'm so glad you're being proactive and taking care of your skin.
Got to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, am I glad I went.
Yeah?
Right.
Yeah.
What'd they find?
Now listen, the screening process, it's different.
Now this is a skin...
This is
basically
where
just a whole thing physical.
Yeah, so the doctor, it's kind of like a physical. I mean, it feels like it. It's basically where the doctor takes a look at every part of your body.
Yes, it is a skin cancer screen.
And
so they check even places that don't ever see the sun.
I know dermatologists
vary on that. I took a girlfriend in, she says mine never did that.
Mine didn't do that.
And he says yes, because
they can.
Yes.
Melanoma can
show up like in your mouth and on your scalp and
on your butt.
I'm talking private. Mine did not go private on
right.
me.
Yeah,
so he gave your undercarriage a little hash of farm.
Yeah, he gave it a little.
Guys are so funny. If you had to go through what we go through as women every year,
I know.
This is like no big deal.
Well, he was so good because he was talking the entire time about what he was looking at.
Very informative and professional.
I only chuckled once.
He tells you what he's looking at?
Yeah, he's going like,
I don't need you to tell. I could tell what you're looking at.
No, Al, he's giving you like the reasons why and what to feel for on your own.
Yeah.
You know, like behind your ears.
He goes, here, see this? This feels flat. That's good. It's a nice shape. And then he finally goes, but wait.
Oh.
But wait, like, there's more.
No. It was like at the end too. You know, the front was all good.
Uh-oh.
The undercarriage was all good.
Oh, then he said butt.
And then he goes, right after the butt, he goes up to the back and he goes, ooh, this one right here is the only one that I have an issue with. So they shot me up with a little local anesthetic.
So he must have been concerned if they were going to do a biopsy right there.
Right then, yeah.
Well, that's why you went.
He was ready
that's
to
important.
Go. He sliced it. Even showed me a little bit.
Ooh.
Put it in a little tube thing.
Yeah.
And then said in about 7 days, I'll find out if it's good or bad news. He goes, but hey, just keep on going.
Yeah.
And it's this mole that it's my itchy spot.
It's a mole that itches?
Yeah, it's been itching for months.
Oh.
And when he told me that, he goes, we definitely need to do a biopsy on it.
Growing.
It's itchy mole.
Yeah, it's my itchy mole. And now I just have a Band-Aid on it, and it's itchy, but I can't itch it because it's really tender.
See, now I have an itchy spot on my back.
Yeah.
But it's not a mole. It's just a patch of skin that's always itching.
That might be like an eczema thing, right?
I think it's an eczema thing. It's always itching. It woke me up in the middle of the night last night. I had to wake up and scratch it.
You ever notice when people talk about itching, you start itching?
Yeah, of course.
Like right now, I need to.
But I don't think.
What are you going to scratch? Oh, you're going to go bear status on the wall?
Yeah. And I wasn't even itching, but y'all talk about itching.
I wanted to tell, but Al just had one of our sound pillars fall on him, and none of us wanted
to tell him. Don't tell him to
still tell him.
Oh, it's not heavy. We just thought it was funny.
Here's why I didn't want to say anything, because I was thinking about how good the video would be.
I was thinking about the Christmas video. I know. It was on my mind.
You didn't even tell me?
Yeah, I was going more for entertainment value than I was for Big Al's safety.
Well, if I see something falling on you and I don't think it's going to hurt because it's soft, I'm going to let
right.
it happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I left a stain on it or something. Anyway.
Yes, Kelly.
You got your mole shaved.
He shaved it.
He's going to send it off how long before you find out?
He said 7 days. So, and that was on Friday, so I should find out hopefully this week.
Yeah.
I'll probably be at Disney World.
It's probably nothing.
And look, if it is something, at least you catch it early enough to where they just cut it out.
It's so true. I used to procrastinate this kind of stuff, and I like the sun, so I'm excited that we're all kind of doing this. Yeah. All my girlfriends have gone in, and a bunch of them have gotten stuff removed. You know, it's such a scary thing. Until you meet someone that goes through it, you just don't, we don't think about it very much. And gosh, skin cancer is, I mean, it's like, the leading cause.
It's so preventable, too, if you just go take care of it.
We go around thinking that we're bulletproof. You know, we think, that, it's not going to happen to me. So I my birthday's coming up, so I'll go in there and get my little physical.
I found out, you have to. I found out that hairdressers are even looking in your hair to make sure that you don't have any moles. Mm-hmm. And you don't even know this. He told me, he goes, your hairdresser is probably looking in there to make sure.
They teach him to do that? Yeah.
So, go get yours checked out. I mean, it's, you know. You
can't hurt anything, right?
No, it's better for you.
Yeah.
Absolutely better for you.
All right.
So, wish me luck on that one.
Good luck, JC.
Yeah.
Hope you pass the test.
My itchy mole. And I was trying to check my wife, because he says you can check your family members, but she has way too many.
She has like a third nipple, right?
But you know
she
what? Does. Sometimes I took my best girlfriend who's Hawaiian, her Hawaiian skin in there, and she has so many moles and freckles. Not a one looked suspicious to him.
Good.
And then my other girlfriend and I both have a couple that we need to get looked at. She is, Mackenzie is covered with that tan skin. She's like, Jonah, I came out brown.
Yeah.
Because she tans in like 2 seconds. And none of them look suspicious to him, which is great. But
did you have a biopsy?
Know. You never know. No, I have to go in, but he told me it has to be, I am not allowed to have any sun on it for a month.
Oh, okay.
And I have a wedding in Mexico in 2 weeks. So I'm waiting.
Wear a one piece, right?
Yeah.
It's up here.
Oh,
it's the boobs.
It's the boob.
You know, her stomach.
No.
She'll definitely have the boob.
It's in the cleavage.
Just do the t-shirt over the bathing suit. Boom.
That's a good look.
Boob covered.
Get one of those. What do they do? The high neck bathing suits now that kind of come up around like a collar.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's still, it's like a.
The sides are open.
Yeah, but if I'm doing an activity out during the day, it's just, and getting in water in the ocean, I don't want to get this biopsy. He told me to wait. He says mine wasn't concerning. Don't worry. I'm not like putting it off because I don't want to do it. He just said, we're not worried about it. We just need to watch it.
Yeah.
And then come in on your holiday break.
Do a scuba suit.
To the wedding?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Are you doing it in the name of research or the preventive something? Treatment.
A scuba suit.
You know, the cool thing about getting this biopsy is that I could tell my wife I got a surgery, basically. So I was able to be babied.
At least you'll have a legit scar.
I was babied all weekend.
People.
So you can milk it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Al doesn't even have a scar, and he says he got shot.
I was grazed. I'm telling you, I was grazed.
I played Mario Odyssey and finally beat it.
So it's working for you.
Is that a kid's game?
No, it's a kid's game.
I just said that to get you all riled up.
No, Mario Odyssey is a grown personal game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And you already beat it?
I beat it.
How many hours to beat a video game?
It probably took me... I don't know, because I went investigating and searching around the worlds, so it took me probably 5 hours, maybe longer.
The person that invented this game did not invent a game that you could beat in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
5 hours?
There's something that you didn't do or something.
I beat Bowser. I beat Bowser. I mean, there's still stuff you could do afterwards.
Okay, then.
And you can go look for moons and stuff.
5 hours to beat a game, then that's kind of a bad game.
I got all the outfits.
Yeah, right?
Right.
What's it called? Mario Odyssey?
Mario Odyssey.
See,
now, again, I'm guessing.
Recommended age on that.
That's probably more than 5 hours, because I was playing about an hour and a half a day with Kaysen. And I played about, probably like 7 to 10 hours, actually. I was trying to make myself sound good. But I beat it.
Good for you. Yeah, is that why you feel good today?
I do feel good about
you
that.
You call in on Feel Good Friday, bro.
I actually was sad because then I wasn't going to get to play anymore. But there's still more stuff to do. Hey, let's give away this trip to Florida.
Let's try it.
Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good.
Doing awesome? Okay, so we have a question for you right here. The world's smallest what? Is located in Carabel, Florida.
Is it a police station?
Wow. What is this? A police station for ants?
How
that is correct.
How big is it?
It doesn't say. It just says smallest police station.
That's weird.
They're saying it's about the size of a telephone booth.
Really? Does it not have to have a bathroom?
I guess not. Or maybe it's a bathroom.
Nicole, I've got good news. You and a friend are going to go to Florida on an airplane. You're going to spend 4 days and three nights at the Sheraton Bay Point Resort. It is the only 3A, 4-diamond rated resort in Panama City Beach.
Triple A.
5 distinctive resort dining options, full service spa, and Kelly?
What?
It's nestled.
I love nestling.
Yes, we do. It's nestled along the historic St. Andrews Bay. Girl, get ready. Pack your bags. You are going. Thank you. Visit Florida.
It's been packed.
Oh, it's been packed. Look at you.
Oh.
She knew she was going to win.
Who are you going to take with you, Nicole?
My husband.
All right.
Oh, okay. What's his name?
Tony.
They call me Tony. All right. You and Tony, have fun, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, Nicole, hold on for us. We'll get you all set up. And that's not the only trip we have. We have another one for you tomorrow around the same time.
Yep.
Different question. I want to go see the smallest police station.
I know.
And speaking of traveling.
You can see photos. It's a phone booth, literally.
It really is
a phone booth, and then people were making long-distance calls from the police phone, so they eventually had to stop the phone from working. So it's really just a photo op now. It's just a booth.
And
what do they use it for?
Nothing, no. No, I mean, it's just there.
It's a, like a
without a working
thing.
Phone.
Yeah. It says police.
It used to be just the police phone.
One dude in there.
Yeah.
Weird.
Just an officer. Chilling. Speaking of police officers and helping you while you're traveling, yeah, this is something you can do to stay safer when you're traveling.
Okay.
All right.
So if you've been looking for an excuse to buy a Rolex, everyone, here you go.
Have.
You need it to save your life one day.
A Rolex?
Yeah. You know Jack Cousteau? That one guy?
Jacques.
Whatever Cousteau. His name is.
He's Jacques. French.
Well, his grandson is also an explorer, Philippe Cousteau.
Jacques Jr.
So he's constantly traveling around the world, and he says the best tip for staying safe when you're overseas is wearing a Rolex.
Give him something to take from you?
Because he says no matter where you are, everyone knows Rolexes, and everyone knows that they're expensive. So it makes it like currency. So if you're ever in a dangerous situation, you can use it to barter and get out of it. Which brought me to this realization. Why don't you just get a fake Rolex?
A fake one, yes.
Yes.
Or have a couple of dollars in cash. That normally works, too.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm a guy that's going to rob you, and you got a watch, you got a wad of cash.
I know.
I'll probably just take the cash.
I think cash.
I take the cash.
Yeah, because they see that Rolex, they think you have way more money than that Rolex.
And if I'm ever blessed enough to have a Rolex, and somebody comes up to rob me, I'm stuffing that down my pants. You're not taking my Rolex. I'll take something else before you do that.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Are you ready, Kelly?
I am.
All right, it's time to do. This is our love expert, Kelly Raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
Do as she says, not as she does.
Well, as she does sometimes.
Well, now as she does is good.
You know, the only way you learn is by messing up.
Yeah.
You know, so I've messed up a lot.
For all of us.
I've messed up so you don't have to.
And now you benefit in this segment we call
Love Letters. Love Letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I'm 26 years old. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years now. We both have great careers. I own my own home. We have pets together. We are both financially sound and travel often. I've expressed to him that I didn't want to live with someone until we were married, but it has kind of turned into unofficially living together here lately, as he has been at my place every night for the past 18 months. We've talked about getting married, and he always makes these fake promises like, oh, yeah, it's closer than you think, but nothing has happened. We're playing the married part with him coming over and staying in my house where I pay all of the bills. Because I don't want to officially live together until marriage.
But you are.
But without anything from him. I just really don't have any options, and the ball seems to be completely in his court. I don't want to be one of those girls who constantly ask why we aren't engaged, and I don't want to give him an ultimatum, but I'm getting tired of him getting this milk for free.
Oh, too free.
Any advice, Elizabeth?
Tons of options, Elizabeth, you know, and that's how you justify it, because you're paying all the bills. That means he's not technically you're not living together. You are living together.
Yeah.
And now it's just time to, you know, just calmly say, look, I've decided there's some things we need to change. You know, we've been doing this way, and I don't feel good about living this way.
Yeah.
So I need you to go home. I'm not breaking up with you, but I need you to go home and let's date like normal people do. If we're not getting married, then let's date like normal people do. And normal people dating don't live together.
It's hard to go backwards, okay?
Take it with the milk.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's it. That is, you do have options. What do you mean you don't have any options? Yeah. You can keep living the way you live and
make him
maybe,
pay half.
Maybe, yes. Maybe make him start chipping in financially. Maybe he'll pop the question over the holidays. Mm-hmm. But you do need to draw a little line in the sand. And it's not necessarily, it's not an ultimatum. You're not saying, unless you give me a ring right now, you have to move out. You say, no, since we're dating and we're not heading towards marriage, and since, you know, you've got your, I'm assuming he has an apartment or something. Don't tell me he's paying rent on an apartment and he's living with you or you're paying everything. No. You have options.
Yeah.
You're just not using them. Because you're afraid. Here's what you're afraid of.
What?
You're afraid you're going to draw a line in the sand and he's going to dump you.
It's so
That's
hard.
That's the only thing you're afraid
yeah,
of.
Is it's hard.
It's going to backfire and you'll have nothing. But I'd rather know.
What kind of dude you're dealing with.
Than keep footing the bill for this guy. Right now he just looks like a bum leeching off of you. Who's getting his milk for free, like you said. So, a real man's going to step up.
How do you feel about her pretending to be pregnant just to get him in there?
Oh, my goodness. That's plan B. That's plan B.
That's, yeah, not plan
B. Well, yeah, not plan B.
Plan B.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
I have a problem.
What?
My boyfriend has a really close girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the girl isn't the problem. It's her age. This girl is 7 years younger than my boyfriend and 6 years younger than I am.
Ah, my man.
I don't think I would care much about the situation if I actually knew her, but I feel like I don't. The three of us have all hung out on several occasions, and he claims that they grew up together and he doesn't see her as anything more than just a younger sister.
Sure.
They talk more often than I feel they should, and it really does make me uncomfortable. I have brought up the issue to him before, but I don't think I'm approaching it the right way. I hate being so insecure about this, but I also don't see a girl who is barely 21 having the best intentions with my man. I definitely don't want to be that girlfriend who tells her boyfriend who he can talk to and not talk to. Please help me, Julia.
It's an inappropriate situation. It's completely inappropriate.
7 years younger.
That's inappropriate. What's the guy? That's
it's
weird.
His little sister, Kelly. Come
but it's
on.
Not his little sister.
It's his play sister.
And if she was this dumpy, if she was this dumpy little thing, she wouldn't be the least.
Oh, you know she's hot.
Right.
It's some hot little thing.
Oh yeah.
And now he's going to start looking at her not as a little girl. No, it's inappropriate.
21?
Just, you know what? But you got to be willing to not have a boyfriend to speak up and really truly voice your concerns. If it really is bothering you that bad, say, you know what? This isn't really working for me. I'm not comfortable with this situation,
yeah.
So it's not working for me. So I'm going to excuse myself and you can be friends with her. See how he reacts to that. But you're not going to do that. I can tell people to do this all day, but they're not going to listen to me. She's going to keep seeing him and just, and it's going to eventually end up being something, maybe nothing will ever happen. Maybe it truly is a genuine friendship, which is weird. That's not normal, but maybe
it's real. I don't know. I have platonic guy friends. And
she's
21, I'm in a
I agree. They're in two different life places.
I agree. And if as the partner you say it makes you uncomfortable, then it becomes disrespectful if you keep hanging out.
And if he says, well, then you're not the girl for me because I'm going to keep friends with the little girl, then there you go.
Yeah.
Go find a man who doesn't have little girl playthings.
Most men have little girl playthings.
I'm not saying there's anything untoward going on because I don't know all of you. I don't know any of you. On paper, this looks weird. And if you're not comfortable with it, then leave. Don't just swallow it because you're only going to continue to get more and more uncomfortable. And then if something ends up does happening between these two, you've wasted all this time.
Yeah.
That's
how
I look at it. If he wants to hang out with a 21-year-old girl, then he's not the guy for me.
Right. No.
Maybe we could use Al's services.
You're not for me.
She sends the picture of the 21-year-old, and Al will tell you if you should be scared of this situation or not.
Yeah, send me her picture.
They'll put up with so much crap just so they can have somebody.
Yeah.
And there's something so much better waiting for you if you just would have faith and trust that that's true.
Yep.
Yeah.
And let go of what this mess and this nonsense. It might take a little while. It might not be, you know, you dump somebody today and tomorrow you're going to meet him. It might take a year or two. It took me 10 years. But
you made
I did.
You found him.
And now you're running 5K.
I don't want to wait 10 years. Where are you going to be 10 years from now? With this guy
older?
Running around with this child? His
best
friend?
Be 31 then, Kelly.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
At the trade-in age.
That's true.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you're the love expert.
I am.
So, I am a 24-year-old single mom in college, and I've been single for almost 6 years. Well, 2 years ago, I met this guy, and he wanted a strictly friends with benefits relationship.
Well, at least he was honest.
Which is fine. Well, I'm stupid busy and really needed to concentrate on my studies. So, it works well with my life. Fast forward 2 years and lots of benefits later.
She wants more.
I love him.
Some of my friends who know about us think that we would make the perfect couple and that he is the one.
So do you, obviously.
Yeah. I think otherwise.
Oh.
Oh.
But now that they have thrown that image into my head, it's become slightly hard to get out. We do get along fantastically, but I'm very well aware a relationship is not what he wants, at least from me. Should I even say anything about this to him? The more they say it, the more I think about it. And I don't even feel like I want to be with him that way, you know? We've always had an open and honest policy, and we're very real with each other. But I don't know. I feel dumb even thinking about it. Slaps forehead. Yeah. What are your thoughts, Nick?
My thoughts are, is the girl named Nick?
Yep.
Nick, it's just, this has been, this isn't going anywhere. This is strictly a friends with benefits. That's what he signed up for, and that's what you signed up for. But see, they've done studies on this and research. This isn't just me talking. They're saying it's very hard for a woman to have one of these relationships that the woman doesn't develop romantic feelings. Because a woman's just, we're just designed differently. Mm-hmm. We're created differently. And you think you can be all this callous friends with benefits thing, but emotion gets involved.
2 years.
A man, he's like, no, that's what I signed up for.
Yeah, he told
her. He's honest. And she's saying it works for her, and maybe for a minute it did. At least she told herself it worked for her, and now it's no longer working for her. So if you want to have a shot at a real relationship, you're going to have to dump the friends with benefits. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, take it off the table.
Let's take it off the table, right? Because you're not going to be free to find a healthy relationship. This has served its purpose. The time has come for you to now move on. But no, don't you go ahead.
Benefits
if you want to say something to him, go right ahead.
It is time
to be
renew.
Prepared to hear what you don't want to hear. That, oh, okay, you want more? I don't, so I'm going to go find somebody else now. Yeah. Just be prepared for that.
You should have a yearly benefits meeting just to make sure
you're
covered.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I've gathered you all here today.
Yeah, about 30 minutes of, you know, get the guy to come in and talk about the PPO.
You
going to
re-sign up for the benefits or not? We'll let you know. It's up to you. All
right.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
My husband and I have been married for about a year and a half now. We dated for 3 years before getting married. I am a preschool teacher. I love the job, but my income is very low. Mm-hmm. My husband makes about 3 times what I do. So what's the problem?
Yeah.
He wants to split every single bill in half.
Oh, come on, dude.
Our accounts are separate. He does not share anything about money with me. A couple weeks ago, he gave me his debit card to pick up something for him at the store. Even though I'm aware it was wrong, I did a quick balance check on his checking account. He has a ton more money than he has led me to believe. I'm living paycheck to paycheck to pay our bills, and he's sitting very comfortably. How does one address this? It's something I've regretted not talking about before marriage, but I'm starting to resent him for it. Haley.
Well, that's exactly it. You make
that's
dinner.
That's weird.
He comes home from work, and you sit down and say, look, there's something that's been bothering me, and I'm starting to develop feelings of resentment, and if we don't take care of this now, it's going to continue to get worse until it's going to cause a huge problem. So before that happens, I would like to talk to you about our finances. And you're going to have that conversation, because your other choice is never saying anything.
She checked his balance, Kelly.
Well,
they're married, right?
They're married, and it's, you know,
your
and people have different agreements. I'm not saying that
I don't like him.
Right. Yeah, I don't either, but
maybe sucks at sharing.
Very selfish, very selfish and childish attitude he's taking towards it. But, you know, this is the situation you've gotten yourself into. And if you can't have an open conversation with the husband, one you're committed to till death do you part, I mean, it doesn't have to be an accusatory thing. It can be like a preemptive thing. Say, I'm starting to be concerned about this because I feel like I struggle. And I think there could be a more fair arrangement with the finances.
It's making her unable to save. That would scare me because she's unable to save money for herself to protect herself in the future.
Because don't you think as a couple, if one's living paycheck to paycheck, that means both of you should be doing that together.
She shouldn't be struggling.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
if there's enough
that.
Money, yeah, he's wrong he's to wrong keep everything. But I mean, everybody has different arrangements and what works for this, but this isn't working for her. Now, this same arrangement might work for another couple listening. They're like, that's what we do and we're fine, but it's not working for her.
He
so she needs to tell him that.
He probably said when they were dating, Baby, don't worry about it. I got this. I make problem. You know, he probably did. Don't worry. You keep
no, it probably
job.
Just never came up. It probably just they got married and they just kept things as they were. It's like some people just get, you know, if you've.
I wonder if they split
you just never
everything,
do anything.
Though. They split every dinner and split everything.
Yeah,
that's
weird.
That's weird. Like, that's weird, everyone, you know, Alan and I make a big, like, whenever I pull up my credit card for dinner, he's like, what? You, what? You know, it's like a joke, but, you know,
he'll pull, but
it's our money. So whether he's.
Did you guys mix?
Whether he's. Well, we never, like, because I still haven't changed my name and all that. I'm still working on that. So we still have.
Separate accounts.
But we don't keep track and we just. It's like you get this, I get that. It's never an issue. It's like whoever gets their credit card out first, who cares?
Have you checked his balance yet?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, you don't need to because he's
like
over.
That guy that asked me to go on a trip with him and then he wanted to split everything. Like if you ask someone to go out of town, how in the world is everything 50-50? You take a girl on a date out of town. I bought my own plane ticket. I paid for half of everything and he still complained.
So you're over it.
I wasn't carrying my weight.
I know. That's not a date.
That's not a date then.
No, it's not a date. It's just a trip with another dude, right?
I wish I knew how to talk a girl into taking a trip and she pays for half of the stuff. I mean, that's never happened.
You're definitely not getting love. You're doing it wrong then.
Oh, yeah, right?
Yeah, you're doing it wrong. I was doing it wrong.
They're doing it wrong.
Yeah. I was out a ton of money.
Oh, man.
Man, that was the date from hell for Jenna.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, that's Love Letters to Kelly right there. We have another round for you coming up on Wednesday. If you want to be a part of that and have your relationship issues fixed, go to KidNation.com and write us. Hopefully, we'll get to it on Wednesday.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
You guys, it turns out that us dudes are more romantic than the ladies.
Really?
I have yet to meet these.
According to this study, men are more romantic than women. Researchers use something called the Romantics Belief Scale. Mm-hmm. To chart men and women's answers to questions about love and romance.
Mm-hmm.
48% of men said they have fallen in love at first sight. Shout out. Now, guess how many women said they had the same thing?
How many?
30.
You're very close, Kelly. 28% of women.
Because men are visual and women are not. So
I think that
doesn't surprise me at all. A woman wants to get to know you and all that crap.
All that crap.
You just want to be in love.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
We just want to look at you and say, oh, baby, I'm going to marry you. I know it. I just saw you and you are the one.
See, look how romantic Al is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I fell in love with my wife at first sight. And she would tell you she absolutely did not fall in love with me at first sight.
Yeah.
Like, not even close.
Yeah. I did in my last relationship. I think I had to grow on him. Like, I was in love.
Oh, you fell in love at first sight?
Oh, yeah.
And he was not?
He has issues, obviously. We don't need to get into all that.
Would Alan say he fell in love with you at first sight, Kelly?
No.
No?
No.
Because you didn't. Because you almost didn't go on a date.
No. How many dates after y'all met did you go on with other people? Does that make sense? Like, after...
I don't know.
You guys were still bumbling?
I was seeing or talking to at least two or maybe three other people.
Okay.
It's been a while now. Yeah. But I still went out a couple times with one in particular who was very, very nice.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with him. It was just that
I decided
I'd rather pursue things with Alan.
Did you give the other guys closure or did you just ghosted him?
It just kind of fizzled. You know, it's just like, it wasn't like a conversation. It's just kind of, I think we both kind of like the last time we went out, I was like, we just weren't feeling it, you know.
What about you, Al? Have you had a love at first sight? Not even the girl you proposed to, honey number three?
I really liked her, but I won't say it was love at first sight. But nah, I probably haven't.
I've never had love at first sight.
Yeah,
I've had lust at first sight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have that, like,
I guess you
nightly.
Could.
Yeah, as soon as I sang karaoke.
So maybe I had lust at first sight with my wife and it wasn't
possibly,
love.
Possibly, and then you... I mean, I'm not saying you didn't have love at first sight, but, you know...
It's almost impossible to determine.
It's a hard thing. Like, I was so cynical, I didn't think that was ever possible. And then when I had it, I was like, oh, this is going to ruin.
Yeah.
But would you ruin things?
Now, today, you would lay down your life for your wife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, would you have done that the night you met her?
No.
See, I mean, there's different levels of love and commitment.
I could have been on the news as a guy that saved this woman's life, but then she goes and marries
a stranger.
Yeah, then she takes the insurance. Well,
she married the doctor.
She married the doctor and saved her. She has a great life.
I'm not saying it wasn't love, but it's a different kind of love.
For sure it grows.
Yeah, we have I want to get with you at first sight.
You feel ridiculous when you say it's love at first sight, because you know you actually don't know that person yet.
Right.
But and there's just some sort of weird connection.
She could have said, done the wrong thing and it'd been over for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean.
She had that bad, annoying voice.
Oh, yeah. She had the annoying voice. I would have been out.
Yeah.
Man, that laugh, man.
Yeah, if she
that
hit laugh you with
is
that.
So funny.
Yeah, if she had hit you with that first, man. Right out of the gate.
Yeah
I would have been like, out. I think I would have been gone.
You'd been like, Because I've had a hot girl that I've seen across a room or whatever at a bar, and then she talks.
Yeah.
And it's just the tone or whatever, the
and it's good timber, for somebody else, right?
Timber of their voice. Yeah, sure.
The tonality.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like your cousin.
Yeah, right?
That's all. Thought that was love, but I was wrong.
Yeah, she talked.
Check.
And people think that's a soundbite that we got from a website. No, that is my wife literally laughing at something.
Oh, my God.
That sounds like something in a Disney
She's
movie.
Cackling and done. Yeah.
I made babies with her.
Yeah, you did. Toddlers.
What was she laughing about?
Oh, man, I don't remember. She laughs like that a lot
it
now.
It happens a lot. I don't remember that when I, you know.
She hid the crazy laugh.
Okay.
I swear she hid it. Because she knew. And then randomly, she started doing that. Because she hid that for a few years.
Good for her hiding that crazy yeah. for that long.
She waited till we got married before I heard that laugh. I was like, damn, that's going to be too late now.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.